The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Kelly, good morning. What a world. What a country. Does it get any better than this past weekend?
That was some fantastic sports watching this weekend.
I'm not asking it rhetorically. Is there anything better than that Thursday to Sunday stretch? Anything. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment because we have football, right? But come on. And here's the thing. It doesn't even have to be good, right? The quality of play doesn't even have to be good. It's like a sideshow. It's good.
I don't know. Would you take this over wild card, super wild card weekend in the NFL now with 3 days?
I think I might. Just because there's betting, there's live betting, there's brackets, there's Survivor, which we'll get to. There's all kinds of things. I don't know. Maybe you're right. But let's just say this. It's right up there with football, at the very least, if not better. We have so much to talk about with March Madness. This is one of these shows you can go for 4 hours today. We'll try to squeeze in some NBA because, obviously, MVP is fascinating. We'll squeeze in some Miami Open tennis futures, but really it's college basketball all day today. Wes Reynolds will join us to discuss March Madness and specifically the Sweet 16 coming up, as will our own Tim Murray here at VSiN to do the same as we head into the Sweet 16 on Thursday. But we got to talk about it. We'll update the championship formula because the championship formula is ho-hum this year. It has got it so locked in. We'll update that as well. Whole bunch to get to, but where do you start? You probably start with last night. Let's start there. And for those of in the country who were asleep already, and I'm sort of sad for them that they didn't get to see this live. Maybe I'm not sad for the people if they were going to be on the wrong side of this betting wise. But Gonzaga yesterday and TCU, there are always bad beats. You know, SBP has a cottage industry about bad beats on a weekly basis. He does a great job with it. We certainly talk about bad beats on this network. But then there was what happened last night, which I would argue was a multi-layered tour de force of a bad beat. Gonzaga does not cover the 4.5-point closing number against TCU. Folks had this anywhere between 4 and 5.5, I guess, on Gonzaga pre-flop. 4.5 is where most had it settled in. Gonzaga ends up winning at 84-81, but not without unbelievable drama at the end of this game. 15.6 seconds left, Kelly. Gonzaga's up 7 with the ball after a review, with the ball underneath their own basket. So you know the fouls are coming. They're going to get it up to 8 or 9.
Yep.
And we're going to go through this. And you know Gonzaga's going to easily cover the 4.5, right? Well, a very casual inbounds pass right in the middle of the court gets picked off. TCU fouled. 2 free throws made.
Too much of that in general, just by the way.
Casual inbounds passes?
No, like these passes in crucial moments that are like easily stolen. And they're like, what are you doing out there,
kid? These college kids don't like the pressure so much. So it's stolen, foul, 2 free throws. Zags are still up 5, 13.7 seconds left. Oh, but that was interesting. That certainly took it from easy peasy to interesting at least. But here's the thing. Gonzaga, breakaway jam down the court. Order is restored, up 7 with 8.4 seconds left. Remember, the spread is 4.5. TCU, quickly down court, takes them 5 seconds. 3-pointer, good. With 3.4 seconds left, we're down to 4 again. But, you know, here's the thing that happens after this. If you're a Gonzaga backer, you're like, please, please, please foul us in those last 3.4 seconds. If you're a TCU backer, you're like, oh, for God's sakes, let this last 3.4 seconds run out the clock. And it almost does. Gonzaga plays keep away, but not for the full 3.4. With 0.7 seconds left in the game, Gonzaga is fouled. And if you're a Gonzaga backer, you are so pumped. And if you are a TCU backer, you're like, you are stealing this miracle cover away from us. Good God. And with 0.7 seconds left, Gonzaga hits both free throws. They're up 6. What are the chances? What are the chances? Because it's going to have to be like a 50-footer, right? A 60-footer, a 70-footer. No. The circumstances that take place here are so, like, the things that had to happen for this to work out for TCU backers. It's a perfect roll of the basketball down the middle of the court. How many times have you seen these kids casually do it on an angle where it won't go down the middle, right? It'll just, I'm going to have to pick it up before it hits the sidelines 10 feet away from the baseline. No, perfectly down the middle of the court. Dude on the court. Sorry for the names here. I'll get better. I was just so excited because for those of us who had TCU, it was unbelievable. Let's the ball roll down court till it's 2/3 of the way down the court.
Yeah, there's no reason to pick it up until you start getting pressured.
And with 0.7 seconds left, scoops it, fires, splash. Zags only win by 3. One of the more remarkable covers of all time. Here it is live.
Circle reaction.
The circle reaction. Ben Fox tweeted that out. Oh, my God.
This has been awesome having all the cameras and audio going in both the both Circa and South Point over the weekend. But it was funny because when I first went to look at this video, Gil, I was like, oh. I'm like, I don't think this video is going to be that great. There's not that many people like there. It's not jammed like it normally is.
Well, because it's already everybody. Late.
Yeah, it's sort of late.
It's already late, yeah.
That everybody erupts that's there.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, Hunter Salas hits the 3-4. He hit the 2 free throws, and then Damian Ball hits the 3-pointer for TCU. It's just unbelievable. So that capped off 4 days of just awesome basketball. And by awesome, I mean to the good and to the bad. Can we talk about Purdue? Because this really, evolved, in terms of historically, was the biggest thing that happened this weekend. Purdue, the second number one seed, obviously UMBC beating Virginia. Virginia has a number one seed. Back in 2018, and it was the same night, it was a Friday night, right? It was the second night of the first round when UMBC beat Virginia by 20 as a 16 seed. Remember, there was no drama in that game. UMBC, the Retrievers of Maryland, Baltimore County, beat UVA, the Hoos, by 20 that night. And so then we get to this year. And it's Purdue as a number one seed, who most people thought was a vulnerable number one seed to begin with. Most people didn't have him getting to the Final Four. But even on the Megapod, and by the way, shout out to Will Hill, who has FAU in the Final Four, and Todd Wishnev, who has Michigan State in the Final Four, had them both on the Megapod, both looking good so far. But even on the Megapod, we're like, okay, well, we'll advance Purdue at least to the second round. We'll see if FAU or Memphis can beat him. Nope. They lose. They lose to Fairleigh Dickinson. And although it wasn't nearly as big of a blowout as the UMBC-Virginia game, it kind of wasn't with that much drama, I guess, at the end either. But here's the egregious part. And Matt Painter of Purdue, I can't imagine they got out of the building. From 6 minutes and 41 seconds, from the 6-minute 41-second mark to the 55-second mark, so we're almost talking about 6 full minutes of basketball down the stretch, Purdue did not attempt one single 2-point field goal shot while in the double bonus with 7'4" Zach Edey, the presumptive player of the year, against the smallest team in the country, which got in the tournament on a technicality, remember, because Merrimack was ineligible because of the nonsense NCAA rules about transferring up.
Wait, were they the smallest team
Matt
in the country?
Painter, yes.
Or in the tournament?
Country.
Holy hell. I just thought it was in the tournament.
Now, people could say, oh, well, they played him great. They buckled down on Edey. You can't go 6 minutes without 1 2-point shot.
No.
Sorry.
And that it's coaching. That is unacceptable game plan.
I mean, there was one play where I was like, oh, Edey threw it out. He should have gone, but you can't go 6 minutes. It's incredible. And Purdue loses.
And even outright. Like I won't even put that all on Edey, right? That's your Purdue versus an extremely small school. You have athletes that should be able to attack the rim and try to pick up fouls. Like there's.
Now, that said, Fairleigh Dickinson almost, they gave Florida Atlantic a big scare yesterday. there was a point during that game yesterday I was like, this Purdue thing doesn't seem as bad anymore.
That one kid that got's a stud. But we'll talk about an incredibly boring first half, and then the second half of that game was great, FAU.
I would say that in terms of, like, impressive performances in second halves, tip of the cap to both Florida Atlantic and Houston. Florida Atlantic, since we're on that subject, 15.5-point favorites, They lead the game 9-0. They're up 11. They settle into a 7-point lead at the half against Fairleigh Dickinson, a 16 seed. They're favored by 16, right? 15.5 or 16. They should roll them, but it's sort of an uncomfortable 7 at the half. You're like, well, they really didn't put them away. And then the second half starts, and Fairleigh Dickinson immediately takes the lead. Immediately takes the lead and lead by 5 with under 12 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd is going crazy. FAU's this monster favorite. The crowd is against you. And they buckled down. They were phenomenal in the second half of that game and overcoming all of that to advance the Sweet 16 and finally slay the 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson team. And then the other one was Houston. Houston, who comes in again, number one seed. They had the injury to Sasser. They had the injury to Shedd going into this game. They were down 10 to Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers at the half. And you're like, is this going to be the third number one seed to go down in this tournament? Purdue and Kansas being the other two. Is this really going to happen? They outscore Auburn 50-23 in the second half of that game. That's a very monster second half performance as well. I even recalled at one point, and this is going to go back a ways, but 1984, the national semis, Georgetown, this is in a day without the shot clock, right? So the scores are a little bastardized. But Georgetown held Kentucky to 11 points in the second half of the national semi before Georgetown went on to beat Spice-Lama-Jama in the finals. But it kind of reminded you of that at one point where you're like, oh my God, this is destruction. So shout out to FAU and Houston to get to the Sweet 16. So much to talk about. We'll talk about first to 15s, formula. Yes. We got too much to talk about here. March Madness, nothing like it. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. Then you stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. And then, bam, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Kelly, you never know what will take off on Twitter. That Purdue tweet that I had about 6:41 to 55 seconds left and all those little circumstances. 750 retweets and nearly 4,000 likes. Well, why?
Damn.
Why do certain things go viral and others don't?
I don't know.
It's very odd.
Thank you.
I'm not saying I'm ungrateful for it, but it's just fascinating how one does that.
Usually when it happens, I feel like it's one or two, you know, it's a couple bigger people on Twitter that pick it up and retweet it.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe that's it. Yeah. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Toby S7812. This speaks for a lot of people this weekend. He says, I've beaten the book, pun intended, in college basketball from Maui Invitational through conference tourneys. Laying points, taking points, underdogs, parlaying favorites, totals, live betting, etc. After the first two rounds of the tournament, I am almost back to even.
Oof.
I will say this. For people who have been successful live betting, I will speak to that. Live betting ain't the same during the tournament. Not this tournament. Because nobody is scoring the basketball.
Yeah.
And so it has been a different animal by and large. Toby, I feel for you, man. Toby, thank you for the honesty.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, I guess it's interesting because I don't know how much of a college basketball better Toby is, right?
Yeah.
I think the first takeaway from that to me is, well, how much are you betting during the tournament? And I don't know if you should be betting way more in the tournament than you are during the regular season if you're a pretty big college
basketball
better.
Well, that's for sure. If he's doing that, that's not the way to
do it. Maybe he's betting way less during that.
There's so many of these responding to the Gonzaga tweet that I can't even get to him, but I'll just read some stuff. This is John Fitzgibbons. Somewhere Chris Duhon is thinking about the buzzer beater against UConn and nodding with great satisfaction. We bet on this stuff. He's talking about, John is, a national semifinal, Duke against UConn. This is the Omeka Okafor days where Chris Duhon, I think Duke was down 5. The game was in the final seconds, and he casually hoists up like almost a half quarter that goes in and affects the spread. But, John, I would argue that The difference is that this now millions of dollars changed hands that day as well, and it was sort of in the PASPA being struck down as unconstitutional days. It was like a big deal to talk about this. I would argue there were like two bad beats, if not more, in just this one ending yesterday. Like literally, you went from elated to crestfallen to elated again. If you were a TCU backer.
The Tim Murray coming up next did hit a pretty ridiculous middle on that game last night.
TCU covering that closed a 16 parlay for me that cashed big.
Oof.
Five or six. Okay. A tennis college basketball one. Like, it was insane. By the way, Tim Lawson, The Better Life, selling some One of Those Idiots Who Believes in Analytics t-shirt still, if you're looking for that, with proceeds going to a charity supported by my father. So nice of him to do that.
Oh,
I appreciate
that.
People just sending in, like, so here's cash money calls. He had a $700 parlay that lost because of that. He says, I almost felt sick. It was brutal on the other side. Matthew Mayberry, I got 3.5 live. I thought that was a good number. Apparently not. He was laying 3.5 on Gonzaga. Oh, Kevin Ryan, this is great. After watching four straight days of bracket ball, the only certainty is if I've got COVID, I'm getting Paxlovid. You see how many times they ran that commercial? It's phenomenal. Appreciate it from everybody with all the tweets. We could go on.
Yeah, I watch golf, so I don't think there's anybody in the United States that catches more pharmaceutical drug commercials than the people who watch golf every week.
I told you, I was like, it's amazing. Todd and I were coming out of tennis, and it was overcast. I'm going, oh, wow, look at the sky. And he goes, Sky Rizzy.
Okay, that was the one I was going to bring up. There's like, that song is stuck in my head. I can tell you the name of the drug.
Immediately.
I can sing the song for you. I have no idea what the drug does.
I'm like, did you just mention a pharmaceutical?
Yeah, I have no idea what it does.
All right, a few things, because there's so much to get to with this. So when I mentioned the first to 15s. So everybody talks about first to 15s now. We've been talking about it for years, Kelly, and because it's a shout-out to my buddy Jay Rude, who used to be the vice president of race and sports at MGM. And Jay Rude was the first person to put these up, first to 15s. And I talked about last week how they messed around with it. They went first to 20s, but usually the favorites manifest at 20s. Then they went to 10. They tried that, but like the book realized they were going to get crushed a little bit on that because 10 is not a big enough sample size. So 15 is the real sweet spot. And for years, I've been betting these at sports books and talking about how at 15, it's the biggest roar in the sports book because usually everybody's betting the dog to 15. And then once they get to 15, everybody switches their allegiance because the public's betting the favorite.
Right, yeah.
So it's the funniest thing in the world. Literally, like I remember Notre Dame. Remember the year that Kentucky went to the finals with Julius Randle? I think that was the year where Notre Dame played them. I had a first to 15 on Notre Dame that hit. And I remember it was like plus 190. And my boys in D.C., they were like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Because it's like hitting the Tigers on a Wednesday night in July against the Yankees kind of bet. That kind of number. So it happened time and time again. Shout out to Grand Canyon against Gonzaga in the first round. Grand Canyon got to 15 first. They didn't get to 10 first, but they got to 15 first. That cashed at plus 250. So good on them. And then Fairleigh Dickinson and Purdue. Fairleigh Dickinson, I think they got to 10 and 15. The 15 cashed at plus 425. Is that right? Good on people.
I heard around that number.
That's fantastic.
I got two quick notes on that. Sitting up here for 4 hours on Saturday with JVTS doing live bet Saturday.
Yeah.
We did primetime action for all those years. We know we can hear the roar through our soundproofing glass that something big happens, right? We're sitting there for 4 hours through multiple endings of games with gambling implications that don't distract us at all. Yet every game, as soon as someone hits 15, that place roars and like distracts me like I got to turn around.
And like you said, if you can hear the crowd through this wall, that means it's a big
roar. That means it's a roar. My second point real quick, they're fun bets. I don't think I'm doing them ever again because as an NBA bettor, I think it happened to me three times this weekend where I had my team sitting on like 13 or 14 and they had like an 8-point lead.
Right.
And then I'm like yelling at college kids missing layups and like, you know, taking bad fouls and stuff like that.
Feels like there's a cover over the basket for you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Just a couple other pet peeves. I know we got to get to the formula. We're going to get to Tim Murray here momentarily with thoughts. We'll get to everything, I promise. But just while I have it in my mind. So Okay, you know how I hate when a team up three doesn't foul the opponent?
Yeah.
So that's the tried and true annoyance. There's a cousin to that that I've developed an annoyance for as well. And announcers love this. When a team is down three with, like, I don't know, 20, 25 seconds left, the announcers love to go into the mode of, you know what, don't worry about a three here. Get a quick two. Get a quick two. If it's easy, get a quick two. They love
gotta
it.
Score quick. Gotta score quick.
They love it as much as they love it as much as a baseball team that gets an out by advancing a runner from first to second. You know, like, oh, that's a what a great baseball play that is. So, like, this is getting horrible. Kansas against Arkansas. Kansas is down three, 20 seconds left. And sure enough, they go for two, but, like, they take forever to do it. It goes to 8 seconds. So great. After Ricky Council hits two free throws, Arkansas up three. Jalen Wilson's fouled under the basket with 8 seconds left. So what if he hits the two free throws with only 8 seconds left, which he does?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Ricky Council gets fouled again with 7 seconds left. He hits two more free throws. And then Arkansas correctly fouls Kansas. Anthony Black fouls him with 3 seconds left, fouls Jalen Wilson. He hits two free throws, but the game's over.
Yeah.
That's it.
The one, I'll do a slight variation of one.
You got to get the quick two, Kelly. It's just such a great play. Not if you take forever.
Not if you take forever, right? No. The other variation of that that I'll bring up, because it applies both to college and NBA, the announcers are right when they say this, but it's always the, you know, the team that's in front and they're trying to run the clock a bit. It'd be like, okay, you want to run the clock here, but you got to make sure you get a good shot. Those teams never get a good shot. Never. I don't care if it's the NBA,
never.
College basketball, ever.
Never.
It's 3 seconds left on the shot clock, and someone's chucking up a hero three.
It's so bad in college basketball. Oh, you milk the clock. Yeah, not if you suck at the end of this and you get the worst goal. I'll tell you what else is driving me crazy also. By the way,
I'd rather have a bucket, Gil, than just burning 35 seconds.
Who was the announcer yesterday that every time, like, two buckets was scored in a row in the I think it was the FAU-FDU game, where he's like, oh, you got to call a timeout. Every time. The other thing is, for those of us who live bet, I should wait for after the break for this.
Yeah, we got, like, a bunch more to get.
There's so much to get to. We got the championship formula. We could do 4 hours today. I'm serious. I do have another pet peeve, something else that's driving me crazy. This is, live bettors will appreciate this from yesterday. No, not from yesterday, from the day before. Like, one of the more egregious things ever. We'll do that. Tim Murray will join us. Championship formula, which is down to 6. But man, is it locked in this year, especially with who it eliminated, who never got mentioned in the formula, and they're all bounced. It's a numbers game at VSiN. March Madness, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get everything you need to bet the madness for only $19. Picks from VSiN host, analysts, and guests like Tim Murray, who's coming up right now. Tim Murray, that is. And Wes Reynolds a little later on. Plus exclusive betting splits. Our team is here to get you ready for every game and every round of the tournament. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe and get this special March offer for just $19. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Gilly Ice Butchers, my nickname. That's the handle. Enough talk about all this NCAA tournament, Gil, and talk about what everyone wants to know. What happened to our girl, Iga? Well, in case you missed it, Iga lost in the semis at Indian Wells, but she put out a tweet afterward. She said, tough one tonight. I gave it all, but Elena was a better player. Unfortunately, I'm feeling discomfort and pain in my ribs, and it was challenging for me to compete at my highest level. I'll consult with my team, and I'll definitely use these next 2 days to recover. See you soon. That's the thing in tennis, Kelly. There are no injury reports because it's an individual sport. You don't want to give your opponent an advantage. So that is the one downside of betting tennis, where it's like, if there is an injury, and we have no reason not to believe it, right? If there is an injury, sometimes you don't know about it. If we had seen the velocity on her forehand from the early matches to the later matches, we might have been able to detect it. But, you know, the madness and everything.
Same thing with golf, right? Like, you don't know that unless it's something you know someone's carrying over from the tournament the week before. Yeah. You have no idea how they're feeling.
Well, Carlito's got it home for us. We'll talk tennis later. Sports Pick Magic with you on the quick two thing. And that's the time to run your best possible play for three, since if you get the ball back again down three, they will foul you and not let you shoot a three in many cases. Too many teams wait and get fouled or throw up garbage with clock running down. Absolutely. Mike Rouse, I blindly bet every first to 15 on Friday. Results were basically 500, but ended up winning money due to FDU. Northern Arizona, Grand Canyon, hitting at plus 200 or higher on each. And Dukes, the FAU-FDU analyst you're talking about, Gil, was the awful bridge coach between Raleigh Massimino and Jay Wright, now terrible announcer Steve Lapis. Guy needed to go away 25 years ago. And then Big Kahuna. This is going to sound terrible, but when these bad beats happen, like in the Gonzaga game, and you don't have action on the game, you're just smiling and shaking your head after Saturday's debacle of fouling three-point shooters, it was nice not to be involved.
Oh, hell yes.
Can I do one more pet peeve before we get to Tim real quick? Because I just got to get this out. So the other one is those of us who are live betting. You know, if you have an over in a game, if you have an under in a live bet and they do the whole college basketball foul, oh, well, we still want to foul because we still have a shot at this game. Okay, we get it. That's part of college basketball. Did you see Mizzou and their egregious fouling the other day against Princeton? Dennis Gates, what are you doing? You're down 18 with 3:29 left, you foul. Okay. You're down 18. All right. You're down 18 with 2:38 left. You foul. Okay. You're down 16 with 2:11 left. You foul. Seriously? Are you still doing this? You're down 14 with 1:19 left. Foul. What are you doing? I have an under 141.5. Will you stop? Down 14 with 45 seconds left. Foul. What? Down 14 with 32 seconds left. Foul. The crowd is booing you. Down 14 with 26 seconds left. Foul. Stop. Barely got home. I've never been more angry after an in-game win.
Like Frozen, man. Just let it go.
Dude,
just let it go. You're done.
Is that a Frozen reference? Tim Murray joins us, everybody, to talk college hoops with us. How you doing, Tim?
Wild weekend, Gil. The roller coaster from Friday just being an absolute disaster when I had Drake and that meltdown.
I did too.
And then Memphis. I don't know what Kendrick Davis was doing there. And then Tennessee was such a wonderful win. Arkansas. And then it ended up with. And I texted Kelly this. You know, you guys are more of the experts on the in-game side, but I'm watching Gonzaga and TCU, and I'm watching that first half, and obviously TCU has the lead. And I was pre-flop TCU plus 4.5, and I said, you know what? I think this game's going to go Gonzaga's way. So I took Gonzaga minus 6 in the second half, which was minus 1 for the full game.
Oh, man.
And somehow, some way, Gil, with that beautiful, wonderful three-pointer at the buzzer, I cashed the most miraculous, lucky middle ever. So I'm doing all right today.
That is a beautiful thing. Tim Murray, by the way, the host of VSiN Primetime. Let's point that out. At one, the number one Tim Murray on Twitter. You also had a really good handicap. Let's give you a shout on this. On the Duke game, right? On the Tennessee Duke game.
Yeah, and it's not overcomplicated. I mean, it's what have you done for me lately, right? And, you know, I tweeted this out late Thursday night, and it just kind of was this perfect storm of Duke on the surface blew out Oral Roberts, but if you look at some of the metrics, it was much closer than what the score indicated, that 23-point win. And then you even think a step further back, right, Gil, where everybody was in love with Duke. The East region seemed wide open, which ultimately it is. And then you've got Tennessee. Nobody wants to back Rick Barnes, rightfully so, in the NCAA tournament. 2-14 ATS in his last 16 games after, you know, blowing the cover and almost losing outright to Louisiana Lafayette. And I just tweeted out on Thursday night, sitting there, I'm like, I'm going to have to bet Tennessee because everybody in the world is going to be on Duke. This is going to be an overinflated line. And, you know, so many resources out there, Gil, that we talk about, and KenPom is one that is utilized a lot by not just people at VSiN, but all over. And the KenPom line on this game was Tennessee minus 3, and the market was Duke minus 3.5. So, you know, you kind of have to weigh all of it. And, you know, as I'm sure you've talked about and we talk about too, the NCAA tournament, you know, might be the most reactionary betting spot of the entire calendar because it's so quick, right? You see what happens on Thursday or Friday, and then you want to either fade or follow that team the following day. And it's just, you know, when you overreact, like many did to the Duke-Tennessee results in the first round, this is what happens more often than not. And, you know, we saw a couple of these, you know, spots where the public kind of races one way and the other side comes home.
Yeah, Tennessee brought him into the mud, as they said after that game. And you're so right. And also your fortunes, right? Like, I had Drake. I had Memphis. And I'm just like, by Friday night, I'm just like, oh, this is awful. And then by the end of the weekend, I'm gloriously happy, which we'll get to the details of here coming up. Before we get to the Sweet 16, anything today, I say it with a giggle in the CBI, anything at all?
The only one I'm intrigued by a little bit because they just – so for some reason keep on covering is Milwaukee. But I'll be honest, haven't dove completely into the quarterfinals of the CBI. So no fires yet from me on the CBI quarters tonight.
All right, let's go to Thursday. Pardon me, the Sweet 16 games in New York and in Vegas right here. Pardon me, Tennessee 5.5-point favorites against FAU. Michigan State now a 2-point favorite against Kansas State. This has shifted from Kansas State being the opening favorite. Then UConn, 3.5-point favorites against Arkansas, and UCLA, 1.5-point favorites against Gonzaga. Those last two in Vegas, all four of those on Thursday. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, I'll try to go quickly here. I do like FAU a little bit here. Like I mentioned and like you were, I was on Memphis. And they didn't really play great yesterday against FDU, didn't get the cover against, New Jersey's new found friend, Fairleigh Dickinson. But, let's go back to Tennessee. What have you done for me lately? They just beat Duke by double digits. Now you're playing Florida Atlantic. You're laying, 5.5, 6. You know, this is a Florida Atlantic team that didn't shoot well against FDU. You said, bring them in the mud. Well, when you're catching points with Tennessee, it's a little more palatable. Now we're laying 6. So, at Circa here in Vegas, if you're capable, grab the 6. I actually like Florida Atlantic here a little bit in this spot. That's the only game I've fired on so far, Gil. One that I'm staring at, though, just because of just the talent that's on the roster. And I said this, on Saturday with the Lombardi line. Arkansas, at the end of the day, it's got 2 lottery picks. Their play will sometimes drive you crazy. But Arkansas catching 3.5, haven't played it yet, but that is an intriguing look there in the first game here in Vegas on Thursday too.
All right, Friday, Midwest and South, Kansas City and Louisville are the venues. Houston, 7-point favorites against Miami. Texas, 4-point favorites against Xavier. That's in Kansas City in the Midwest. And then Bama, full touchdown favorite, 7-point favorites against San Diego State. Wow, full touchdown there. And then Creighton, the full 10-point favorite against Princeton and Louisville on Friday.
Eyes right to the San Diego State-Alabama game.
Yeah.
I really like this San Diego State team. Actually, in my bracket, I was trying to be different, so I had San Diego State pulling this upset. One of my favorite bets of the tournament was San Diego State to reach the Sweet 16. I just love that draw for them. And now here we are, and I think, like you said with the Duke and Tennessee game, San Diego State's going to want to ugly this up, slow it down. One of the slowest teams in the country, 263 in tempo, Gil. If they can win the stylistic fight, which is no easy feat, but you look at the total, it's moving towards the under, which to me indicates that we've got a live dog situation here. And Maryland tried to do it, didn't work out. I think everybody's just blindly trusting Alabama moving forward. Understandably so with the talent they have on that roster, but I'm going to look at taking the points here with the Aztecs in this spot. Like you said, catching a full touchdown.
An 8-point move to the under on that game, down to 135.5, Alabama-San Diego State. Tim, thank you. Appreciate it as always. The best time of year, man. Tim Murray, co-host, along with Sean King, VSiN Primetime, 6 to 9 Eastern, 3 to 6 Pacific, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Championship formula and Survivor update next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do? Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message inviting them to register a new account in the same state you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, you'll both receive a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, and Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, Kelly? Good?
Everyone good? Good, man.
Heat check on Kelly Bidlin. You all right, man, back there?
All gravy, baby.
All gravy. All right, championship formula time by popular demand. Tried and true through the years.
This is, like, big. We've got a second team in the qualifiers now, huh?
It's large, and, again, imitation, the sincerest form of flattery. You hear other shows, like, doing a bastardization of it. Yeah, invitation, sincerest form of flattery. We've been doing this for years, decades. Last 32 champs had more assists than turnovers. 31 of the last 32 champs had a head coach with Sweet 16 experience. The only exception, 2014 UConn Huskies and Kevin Ollie. 26 of the last 27 champs went into the tournament with at least 3 wins versus teams in the top 10% of RPI. That's how long we've been doing this. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies were the exception. Last 27 champs had a top 75 strength of schedule. Remember that number. 19 of the last 20 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted offensive efficiency at KenPom. Only the 2014 UConn Huskies. The Shabazz Napier UConn Huskies. The exception, number 39 in adjusted offense that year. Big exception. And then 19 of the last 20 champs were in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. Only the 2021 Baylor Bears at number 22 in adjusted defense, the slight exception to that rule. Here, now, as we've done this, this is about the fifth time we've done this year. It has isolated essentially the same 8 teams every single time. Just on the inside qualifying, just on the outside looking in. Let me start with this, Kelly. Here are the teams that it never mentioned, right? These teams never came up in this championship formula.
Yeah, that's a good thing to run.
Arizona never came up. Marquette never came up. St. Mary's never came up. Duke never came up. We could go on, but you get it. It does a great job of eliminating the pretenders. Now, of the 8 teams that had come up,
and on the outside looking in, Gil, those are all teams that would be qualifier except for one category, or is it multiple?
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that because we'll be clear about that. But, like, of the 8 teams that were coming up in this, 2 have been eliminated in the tournament, right? And they were both on the outside looking in. They weren't qualified teams. But both Kansas and Purdue are out, neither of which were really top 20. Kansas was outside of the top 20 in adjusted offense at KenPom. Purdue was outside of the top 20 adjusted defense at KenPom, so they're gone. But the 6 that are isolated now, 2 are currently qualified teams. Alabama, who's been qualified the whole time, 18th in adjusted offense at KenPom, number 3 in adjusted defense. Just barely enough on the assists over turnovers, though. They just get there. 545 assists this year, 498 turnovers. That's a 1.09 assist to turnover ratio. So they just make it on that. And Houston's strength of schedule just creeps in with their win over Auburn. They're 73rd in net rating strength of schedule. Number 9 adjusted offense, number 4 adjusted defense. So Alabama and Houston, the 2 teams that currently qualify to win it all per the formula. The other 4 teams on the outside looking in, and to answer your question, Kelly, it's a different reason for each. In the case of UConn and Texas, they can never qualify because Dan Hurley in the case of UConn and Rodney Terry, the interim coach at Texas in the case of Texas, neither has ever taken a team to the Sweet 16.
Right.
So they would fall into the Kevin Ollie category of only Kevin Ollie has beat that before. You have to have gone to a Sweet 16 before.
Yeah. The only reason I'd ask that question is because you mentioned a Duke, right? So was it Duke right away? Or are they never going to be able to qualify for this because Shire's coaching there now?
Yes. The coaching thing is, again, UConn. So UConn and Texas qualify every other way but that.
Right. That's what I wanted to clarify. Right. Okay.
Creighton and UCLA are just on the outside looking in because they're barely outside of the top 20 in adjusted offense at KenPom. They're both comfortably in on defense. UCLA's number 2 adjusted defense at KenPom. Creighton is number 13 adjusted defense at KenPom. UCLA's 21st in adjusted offense, so they're literally on the doorstep, right? Banana peel on the second foot. They are almost a qualifier. Creighton's number 24 in adjusted offense. So really, if you throw UConn and Texas out because of the coaching issue by definition of this formula, really it's Houston, Bama, UCLA, and Creighton. I have futures on UCLA and Creighton, but not on Houston and Bama.
I'm on Bama.
Good for you.
That's it.
Because now the things I did, the formula doesn't know about injuries, which, you know, Houston seems to have overcome.
Yeah.
Seems to have overcome. It certainly doesn't know about off-the-court issues that result in murder, right? Yep. And Alabama presses on. So really, it's Houston and Alabama on the inside. It's UCLA and Creighton just on the outside, with UConn and Texas also just being on the outside, but they don't have the coaching history. By the way, if you're wondering about teams like Michigan State and FAU, and by the way, January, February, Izzo, April, those teams are not really on the outside looking in, but they're not like miles away. Michigan State is 38th in adjusted offense, 31st in adjusted defense at KenPom. FAU's 30th and 36th, respectively. But in the case of FAU, Dusty May has never taken a team to the Sweet 16, so they'd be disqualified on that as well. So really, it's four teams, if you want to know the truth. Houston and Alabama on the inside, UCLA and Creighton just on the outside. How about Survivor? Oh, no, before we get to Survivor, let's look at the actual odds now based on that formula. Let's look at the actual current odds on winning it all, because obviously you can still bet this as we head into the Sweet 16 on Thursday. And, well, you'll see some of the familiar names at the top. The formula's been – this has not been a surprising formula year. Bama's plus 350. These are courtesy of BetMGM, proud sponsor of the show. Bama's plus 350. Houston's 4-1. UCLA's plus 750. Texas, with the coaching exception or the coaching problem in the formula, they're 9-1. UConn as well with the coaching issue per the formula at 9-1. And there's Creighton at 10-1. Everybody we just mentioned, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the top six teams, odds to win the tournament. That formula nailed it this year.
Yeah, wow.
Now, on the other hand, if we get a surprise winner, right, if Princeton ends up winning national championship, or FAU or Michigan State or one of those teams, or Arkansas, then the formula will have been torpedoed. But doesn't look like that's going to happen. Gonzaga might have something to say about that. So does Tennessee. They might have something to say about that as well. K-State, what, we should mention.
What Xavier. Do you think, from just the first weekend of action?
Yeah.
What do you think? Let me. Let's say you had to bet someone from that second column.
Had to?
Yeah. Who do you think's got the best chance of these longer shot teams?
I'm going to say San Diego State.
I think so, too.
At 40-1. Just because, you know, Todd Wishnev, let me just say this again about the Megapod. Let's give the Megapod a shout-out. The Beating the Book Megapod, our March Madness episode, is our most listened-to episode of the year. And that's saying something when it comes to that podcast. And the winner, by the way, of the Circa contest, right? We should give Will Hill a shout-out.
Will Hill, the big winner.
Will Hill, Circa College Hoops Challenge. He clinched the contest on FAU's unbelievable win over Memphis on Friday night. He clinched it. He clinches it with a 27-17-1 record. Congratulations to Will Hill. He came on the Beating the Book podcast, and he's like, FAU's going to the Final Four. Todd Wishnev, who watches more college basketball than any human I know, he said Michigan State's going to the Final Four. And then the other thing that he really pressed on about was he's like, I love, 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 I think he said it four times, San Diego State. And by the way, people who tailed him on like their brackets are first or second money and position right now in their brackets. Like, I mean, that was a great podcast. Those guys were all over it. Parlay was great as well. So much fun talking about this tournament. So anyway, that's where it stands right now. We'll see. You know, anything can happen down the stretch of this, but those teams that were isolated in the formula are all the short shots to win it.
Yep. The I'm going to do a random pivot here. Pro tip,
please,
of the hour of the show. Mm-hmm. Be careful where you're betting. Remember, a lot of the East Coast shops, if you're looking in, you know, if you're betting in New Jersey, we got a tweet about this. Roughly about this, but if you're betting in New Jersey, you can't bet on New Jersey schools. So just keep in mind that all these odds shift and change when, yes, you're looking at markets inside of New Jersey versus if you go over to Pennsylvania or whatever.
It also, that very rule, and we got a tweet about this, so forgive me for not shouting out who did the tweet, but it ruined Survivor contest in New Jersey.
Yeah, you can't do it.
Because Fairleigh Dickinson and Princeton were the big movers in terms of Survivor, and they weren't involved. So it completely ruined those specific contests. So yes, absolutely, got to keep all of that in mind. We'll come back. Survivor update. Looking pretty good with so much more to go and more. Wes Reynolds as well. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.